Okay, today begins the first of a total of 10 sermons in the book of Jeremiah. It's what we typically do this time of year. We call it our winter Bible study. A lot of churches used to do this around the first of the year. And just because of our schedule and all of that, we've always tried to sort of extend it out closer to February and March. And so there are five Sundays in March. And so in the morning service and then in the PM service, and I just want to pause for a moment and just remind you that we have a PM service. It's over in the fellowship hall. It's a little less formal, right? I think we have coffee most of the time, and usually we're blessed with some kind of pastry, donut, some kind of snack. So we can sit around tables, although I don't. I stand up because I just can't preach or teach sitting down very well. But everyone else sits down around the table, and it's a great time of fellowship. And also just a little bit, I almost think of it this way. It's like a pastor's class. I grew up in a church where the pastor, we had two Sunday schools and then a service in between. And he would teach a pastor's class after the morning service in the second Sunday school. And it was just a different sort of take, and it was nice not to take anything away from Sunday school teachers, but it was nice just to sit and listen to the pastor often explain what he had just preached about and go a little bit deeper. Well, Sunday night is a little bit like that, in that we often dig a little deeper from our Sunday morning, and often more often than not, the sermon in the Sunday morning kind of comes up in the evening service. Well, tonight and the next four weeks, we will be doing that. And looking particularly at other aspects of Jeremiah. So with that said, I want to encourage you to commit to be here. Commit to be here in the mornings and then in the evenings on Sunday nights. And just pray about what God would teach you through the book of Jeremiah. Now probably some of you have studied and read Jeremiah through the years. And what we're looking at today is what you see on the slide, faithful to the mission. And as we sort of introduce this morning, we're going to start in chapter 1 and really just read down to verse 3 today. Then tonight, we'll talk more about the calling for Jeremiah. Today, we're talking about the choosing. And essentially what we find is God has handpicked Jeremiah for what he has set him out to do. Now, you may be thinking here, that's great, and I understand that, and God does that all throughout Scripture. But God still does that. Now, your calling and choosing may be different from Jeremiah's. There's probably not many of you in here that have been set aside to be a prophet like Jeremiah. And by the way, Jeremiah will prophesize during a really difficult time in the nation. He's often called, listen to this, the weeping prophet. Why is that? Because he agonized and prayed in just a crying form over the sins of the nation. And so it brought emotion to him. And Jeremiah prophesizes really a message about judgment and also then the future covenant that would come through Jesus. And the nation was about to be judged. And so Jeremiah is trying to convince them that they need to put God in his proper place. It was not an easy mission, if you will. And ultimately, Jeremiah will give his life by being stoned by the very people that he is prophesizing to. So probably not many of you in here would really be signing up for a mission like that. But nonetheless, God still has a choosing for you, a calling for you, I believe. And he has something that he wants us to do for him at every moment in our life. Now, I know we talk about purpose and having meaning and all of those kinds of things. Please don't lose sight of the bigger issue. That because we are believers, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, have a mission to carry the gospel into the world that God has called us to be in. That could be in your home. That could be at your job. That could be at other things that you're involved with, clubs and social things, at school, young people. Wherever it is that we go as believers, we can never separate ourselves from the mission that God has called us to carry the gospel. And then he gives us, as we'll learn, talents and gifts, blessings to be able to do that, opportunities that he brings our way. And so when we look at this and just sort of start today, I want us to focus on really the idea that God has chosen Jeremiah for reasons. And he's chosen you for a reason. Whether you're in any kind of career or vocation that allows you necessarily to carry the gospel, we still have to find ways to live that gospel. So let's pray, and then we'll read the word together, and then we'll jump down and break this passage apart a little bit and look at three characteristics this morning of God's chosen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that we're at the point in the service now, after a time of pouring out ourselves in worship and putting ourselves in a place where we're ready to receive now your word. And I pray this morning that it's not my words, it's not what I'm saying, it's what your word is speaking to each and every one of us. And I believe all I am this morning is a tool just to connect people to your word. And so I pray for everyone in this auditorium this morning, that you would open their hearts and their minds to you. Help them right now to push aside whatever may be struggling for their attention. Life is full of all kinds of stressors and pressure, and it's easy when we pause for a moment like this for our minds to start focusing on things that really have nothing to do with you. And so my prayer this morning is you would help us to have the ability to concentrate on your word, to glean from it the truths. And the fact that as we look at this, the choosing, that God has chosen us. And in every arena of our life, you have chosen us to be your tools and instruments. And as we look at Jeremiah and the story there, we celebrate that he was faithful to the end. And so, Father, I pray this morning that each and every one of us as believers would be able to ask that question, are we faithful? Are we faithful to what you've called us to do and be in the world that you have sent us into? And then, Father, this morning I pray for the lost person that may be here who has never truly accepted Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for them to have forgiveness of their sins, to be redeemed, to be brought into a relationship with a heavenly Father that loves us more than we can ever comprehend. And then at that point, and only at that point, do I believe we can begin to discover the mission that you called us on, the talents and the gifts that you've equipped us with to be able to accomplish the works that you've laid before us for your glory, Father. It's only through a walk with Jesus that we can discover those things and we can understand that you have chosen us for a mission. I pray for those lost people right now, Lord, that you're opening their heart and helping them to sense and feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit to finally get that issue, that question in their mind settled this morning so that they can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, every Sunday we ask this, and we do it again today. You bless this. You bless the reading of your word. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll start reading, as I've said, in verse 1. Read down to about verse 3. Then tonight, as you come back, we'll pick up in verse 4 and talk particularly about the calling and the appointing of Jeremiah. So here, we're talking essentially about God's choosing. Now, Jeremiah, let me also sort of add this in. Jeremiah was one who was born into a priestly family. He was brought up in the lineage of serving the Lord. So this was not something that was unusual to him. But it was a unique mission, and even as we come back tonight, we'll see to some degree Jeremiah's objections to God. Now, we don't really pick that up in the introduction here this morning, but this evening we'll see that. And Jeremiah really did not feel like he was the right person for God to choose. And probably many of us feel that way. And so we can resonate with this story. Let's start reading in verse 1, and it says this, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anath and in the land of Benjamin, to whom," listen to this, "the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah." What does that mean? God gave him the words to speak. Now, we're not going to necessarily pick up on this morning, but I want us to understand that whenever God calls us or chooses us for something, it could be going down the street and knocking on the door of your neighbor and sharing Christ with them, or running into someone at Walmart and inviting them to church. God's never going to lead you to do that and then leave you hanging. He's always going to give you the equipping. And that's exactly what we learn here. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And I think this is part of what makes Jeremiah's message so difficult. And in the end, one that was resisted by the nation is because it wasn't Jeremiah's words, it was the Lord's words that Jeremiah was speaking. And what does that mean? We've talked about this. In fact, we even mentioned it last week. The truth. That means it's truth. And there's no getting away from that and denying that when we hear and see in print form the words of God that He has written for us for such a time as this, we cannot deny that. And so oftentimes, because we can't, we begin to rebel against it. I'll say this and then we'll move back into the passage. When the word of the Lord comes, we can say it's not and try to qualify it and guess at it and say, well, maybe that's really not what God is telling me to do or saying to me, or we can accept it. Or another option would be we would just outright reject it. But make no mistake, just because we're reading this that was written some 4,000 years ago, God still speaks. Amen? He still speaks through His Word. And it's as much a truth today as it was in the days that it was written. And we have to come to terms with that. Well, we go on, and he says this. In the 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the fifth month. Now, this sort of gives us the historical setting here. Jeremiah is prophesizing during that last part of the Old Testament where we know the judgment comes on the nation, and now they're exiled. It mentions that in the last part of our passage. And then, so Jeremiah is prophesizing leading up to that, and then he prophesizes through that. Now, we've talked about that he is giving the warning of the judgment. Now, we know they don't heed that warning. They don't listen to Jeremiah. That's in and of itself a whole other thing that we need to think about. All we are called to be is tools and instruments. It is not left up to us to decide the results in people's hearts. Go back to what I said a moment ago. If God has called and led you, chosen you to be the ambassador of Christ's truth, to share the gospel with someone in your life, then it's not up to you to qualify them or to choose their response to that. You're just to bring the message. Now, Satan loves to get us all twisted and just discombobulated in that we now begin to evaluate ourselves based on people's response. Now, if you were to use that metrics, Jeremiah would have been a failure because the nation doesn't respond. They don't listen to him, but yet we celebrate him in Scripture as one who was faithful to his mission. He was faithful to it, regardless of the results. And so when we begin to think about God's choosing, it has little to do with your qualifications, your experience even. Where you've been, what you've done, the sins in your background, all of those things really doesn't matter when you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you are a new being, it tells us in Scripture, able and capable of being chosen by God to do something extraordinary. Now let's define that. Extraordinary doesn't always mean that you're a Jeremiah figure going in and preaching to thousands. It could just be that God has called you to be the example of what He wants to your children. And that's extraordinary, by the way. Because in your world, as we're going to call it in a moment, in your field, that is one of the objects that God has called you to care for. I can't think of a greater mission than being a godly mom or a godly dad to your kids so that when they grow up to become adults, they know what it looks like to live as a godly mom or a godly dad. You think about that. Nobody else can teach your kids that. Only you can do that. And sometimes that falls to grandparents and others. Well, as I've said, as we go through this, I want to come back and kind of simplify this, these first three verses, because it is sort of giving us the historical background. And this sort of becomes the basis on which we look at the rest of the book, okay? This is where it all begins for Jeremiah and for us in our study of the book. So as I said, we're going to look at three characteristics of God's chosen. Now, we say chosen there in that those who've been chosen by God. Now, let me go back to clarify. Everyone in here has been chosen. You've been chosen first for salvation. Now, I know we can get into all kinds of arguments. Does that really mean that everyone has been chosen for salvation? Absolutely they have. But you also have a self-will or a decision you have to make. You may be understanding that you're chosen, but until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're denying that choosing. You understand? Then as believers, we've experienced being chosen for salvation. Now we are chosen for purpose in our life, for the mission that we're talking about. And don't get distracted by the grandeur of other people's mission. All that you need to focus on is the mission that God has given you. And because of that, then we must be faithful to that. And allowing God to equip us and put us into the place that now we're chosen. And then when we accomplish something for the Lord, then He's chosen us for something else. I believe this. As long as you're physically on this earth, living and breathing, God still has things He's chosen you to do and be. Now, they're different from what they might have been when you were younger or might be when you're older. It makes no difference, but they are according to His plan. See, here's the thing that I want us to kind of understand. We understand God's on mission. He's bringing people to Him. He's provided salvation. And He could use anything He wants to draw people to Him. But listen to this. He chooses us most of the time. I mean, you look in America today, most of the time people get connected to Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior, not by some printed book usually, not by something that comes to them, say, through their stereo in their car. It comes through, listen to this, a one-on-one relationship with another believer. It's always been that way, to be honest. Now, I know there are places in the world where we can't have believers going and knocking door to door, but yet we broadcast that truth, and then it's resonated and cultivated and sowed often by the believers that then have access to those people. We're not in a closed world in America, so that really doesn't apply to us. Every single one of us in this room know people who are lost. And it's not just by happenstance I believe that. God has given us the blessing of being able to have those relationships so that we can be the tools and the instruments. So the question is not whether we're chosen. You are chosen. The question this morning, as I said in my prayer, is whether or not you acknowledge that you've been chosen. Are you denying it? Are you ignoring it? Are you rebelling against it? Are you saying, well, Lord, I know you've chosen me for this, but I'm not going to do it. And so out of that, you now begin to suffer in your spiritual journey. Why is that? Because you're denying what God's purpose is for you. We can use a million different illustrations. This week, I've got I'm not going to call it a rabid dog, but I got a dog that has just after 9 years decided to be as destructive as it can be. And so I'd love to show pictures, but we've had this cage that we often put her in when it's raining, and she's been fine with it, but now she's decided to tear it apart. I mean, literally, tear it apart. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. So this week, I went up to visit my dad. And we're trying to figure out things that were never designed to contain a dog, how we could take those things and convert them and force them into containing a dog. By the way, I thought I had it figured out, came back, installed it, and it took her exactly 20 minutes to destroy that. Now, what's my point in this? Well, we were trying to take things that were not designed for that. And some of you know, I don't like really to spend money. I mean, I could go on Amazon and buy a brand new big cage, but I'm trying to jerry-rig what I've got. So I'm trying to take things that aren't meant to do that and force them in, and that's why it fails oftentimes. Listen, that's what happens when we begin, listen to this, when God has chosen us to do something and we've decided, well, now, wait a minute, Lord, I like this other mission better. So I'm going to go do that. And that's not what God designed you to do. And so much like, maybe it's not like a rabid dog tearing you apart. That's not the image I want you to have. But it is that it's never comfortable. It's never something that's settled in your heart. Listen, I believe this. When you are doing what God has designed you to do and you're on mission for Him, accomplishing the mission that He has given you, there's no greater sense of joy and satisfaction than knowing that you're in the center of the will of His hand. And once you get there, it's unlike any other feeling. And then when you waver out, which we all do, we know what that feels like, and we're always struggling to get right back in the middle of His will. So when we look at this morning, I want us real quickly to go through this. We're going to run out of time, I realize. I was at a pastor's conference this week, and in their church, it's a little bit smaller. I was sharing with the guys in the back. They've installed a TV on the back wall, and it has a countdown timer. And so he, I guess, has told them how long his sermon's supposed to be, or they've just inadvertently decided how long his sermon's supposed to be, and it ticks down. I was amazed. Man, I'm sitting there watching this thing tick down, and I'm thinking, what if you have more to say? Well, thankfully, y'all don't mind parking and staying all afternoon if we need to, right? All right, amen. So here's the three characteristics of God's chosen. And we can extract these out of the book of Jeremiah. Number one is this. God's chosen you, but He's also given you, listen to this, a unique assignment. Now, let's not be distracted in this. Don't be confused by this. When we begin to think about the unique assignment, what we mean is that God has chosen you. What's wrong? Oh, the countdown timer. Okay. That's funny. Yeah, see, it's not on the back screen. It needs to be on the back screen. That's funny. Yes. Okay. So the unique assignment is simply this, that God has given you the opportunity to be blessed in that. Now, one of the things we learn, and I love this in the book of Esther, I quoted it a moment ago, for such a time as this. That comes out of Esther chapter 4, along about verse 4 to about verse 14. And in that, God tells Esther that, listen, I've chosen you to go on behalf of me and plead to the king to save the nation. And then he tells her this, listen, if you choose not to be obedient, then I'm going to choose somebody else. It's not that the work's not going to get done. It's not that all of these people are not going to be saved. God had already chosen to do that, but He was given the opportunity to Esther to be the tool and the instrument, the one that would be remembered for thousands of years and celebrated as about a 14-year-old girl who risked her life to do what God had called her to do or chosen her to do. So when we think about the unique assignment, the first thing that often wrongly comes to mind is, if I don't do it, nobody will. Now, someone may not do it as uniquely as you and may not be in the perfect place that you are to be doing what God has chosen you to do. But God, if it is His ultimate divine will have somebody do it. And the reality is, then you will miss the blessing. You will be incomplete in what God's called and chosen you to do. And so we have to come to terms with it is unique. God's equipped us. He's given us talents and gifts. Unique opportunities that lead us to then do the unique assignment. Another angle of this that I want us to remember, and we've already mentioned it, but I want to make sure that you've got this in this part of your notes. It's unique in the sense that God has given you an assignment to do for Him. And when you begin to look at Jeremiah and the fact that he grew up in a priestly family, he was deposited in the world during a time of turmoil so that he could be the prophet that God had called him to be and speak the words of the Lord, as we read. All of that was in preparation for where he would be. Now I want you to think about this. Your life experience, the things you've gone through, the talents, the gifts, the passion, your personality type, you name it, God has put all of those things uniquely in your life so that you can uniquely accomplish the assignment that He's put you on. And so now you begin to look at all of those things, and even the bad things that have happened may be a way of God shaping you to be the person, the tool that He's intended you to be. You may be thinking, well, Brother Sharp, I'm 50 years old. If it's not in my life now, then it's not going to happen. Listen, it just may be that, like many in the Old Testament, that God is waiting to another point in your life, and all of what you've been going through is preparation for what will happen in 10 years from now, or 5 years, or a day from now. And now you begin to understand that that's where God has been preparing me. And then guess what? We've said this. We accomplished that, and he's going to do something else and choose you to do something else. He is never finished with us. Listen, this weekend, I've used more tools than I've known that I even had and my dad had that were never designed to work on dog cages, but they were tools that we gathered and held. And each one of them have a purpose. And so we are those tools for the Lord. We are those things that we may feel like we're of no value and that he doesn't use us like we should. But I assure you, we are in the Lord's eye. Don't laugh at this, but we are his tools. We're in his toolbox. And we need to be ready to be used. And be ready to be put on what we're calling that unique assignment. So the first characteristic of a God's chosen person is they have a unique assignment. It's different from everybody else's, and we can't compare it to other people. Just because your assignment is different from someone else's doesn't mean it's any less or greater. Number two is this, and we've kind of touched on this already. If you have a unique assignment, then you also have a unique preparation. Listen, it's great that Jeremiah grew up with a family that were basically ministers. If you put it in the New Testament sense, he grew up in a pastor's home. But that doesn't necessarily make him a scholar or a theologian. And here's the thing, God was not picking someone to be a theologian or a scholar or a learned person that could go and argue the truth. He was simply picking someone to bear the message that he had given them. You don't need seminary. You don't need formal theological education. You don't need any of those things as a requirement to serve where God has placed you on assignment. And when we begin to think, well, I'm ill-equipped, I don't have what I need, then listen, in every one of these situations that you read in Scripture, in many of the testimonies that you hear today, God prepares you often after you begin the assignment. That just seems to happen. There are times that he may prepare you ahead of time, but he usually has you step out. And then as that happens, he begins to prepare you. That's what we see in the life of Jeremiah. He had no idea what he would face. There is no way that he could get completely, totally prepared before he began his prophecy. He rather stepped out and then took a few steps, and God did what he needed to do, equipped him. And then he took a few more steps, and then God equipped him and learned and taught him the things that he needed to learn so that he would be equipped along the way. I know that's sometimes counterintuitive to what we're taught in the world today. You got to be educated and get what you need, then you go out and do it. That's not always the case in the Lord's work. In fact, none of us are ever fully complete or finished in our preparation. We're always learning. We're always being equipped. That unique preparation leads us to be ready to do what God is choosing us to do. And probably in our lives, there's multiple things through the journey of our life that he's chosen us to do. Then we get to the final one, and this is the one I want to park on for a moment. The unique field. If God has chosen us, and we've established that he has, we have a unique assignment, we have a unique preparation, the life experiences, all of those things that we go through are in ways uniquely preparing us for that work. Well, the third one has to be this. It's a unique field. And I don't think this now. I know that there are some who are called to missions, and they will go to a people that God has designed them to be with. But for the average person like us here, God's already given us that field. Well, we mentioned it a moment ago. Could be your children. Could be the people sitting around your dinner table. Could be your extended family. Could be the place that you work and the people you come in contact with. The clubs that you're part of and the bigger community that you're part of. That's your field. And even though we may share the same field, we all have a unique, listen, sort of part of that field. I mean, there are things that God equips us to do and to be able to share with that others would not be able to. I mean, I look around this room this morning, and I see examples of people who are uniquely on a mission for the Lord, doing things that are unique from everyone else. And the truth is, we're all unique. You have talents and experiences and gifts that God has chosen to use, and you're letting him use those, and it's different from someone else. And I shared the story, 2 weeks ago about the evangelism pastor. And him being told to go witness to people, and he turned around and give the card to the person that brought him that name. I mean, we can laugh about that, but the truth of the matter is that person has already been uniquely placed to be the message bearer. And the truth is, you are too. I can take those names from you, and I can go knock on a person's door, but they don't know me. I've not invested in them. I don't have the relationship with them that you have. And you see, so God has uniquely put you in a place to do things that others can't really do. Not the way that you would do them. And certainly not the way that God has designed you to do those. And we begin to sort of see the big picture here. What we understand is that Jeremiah in and of itself is not one of these, you know, sinless people. I mean, he had struggles. He's not divine. He was an average person, I believe, who just happened to be in the place that God wanted him to be, and God equipped and chose him for a unique ministry. And the truth is, all of us have that opportunity. And as we go through this and sort of return back to the idea of being faithful to the mission, my challenge for you is this, and we'll wrap this up this morning, despite the countdown timer, it's not going. I've gone past it, although on my time I still have a few minutes. I do have a timer on my tablet here, but it doesn't count down. It just tells me the time. But when we begin to understand that God has designed us, He's equipped us, He's given us the field that is unique to us, then we go back to that question that we asked in the very beginning. We don't doubt the fact that God has chosen us. The question is whether or not we're willing to accept being chosen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, really, Lord, we are thankful for the blessing of your word. We're thankful that each and every one of us, Father, as believers, and even the lost person that may be here, I include this for them as well. Out of heaven and out of your great wisdom and your love, and sometimes despite what we may think, you have chosen each and every one of us first for salvation. And so, God, we celebrate that. We're thankful for that. But we also, Father, acknowledge that you've chosen us for other things too, that go beyond just the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ on the cross. You've chosen us, some, to be a godly mother, others to be a godly father, to be a godly teacher, to be a godly coach, or to be a godly business person, or an employee. I mean, we could just look in each and every one of our lives and we can discover the application of that. And so, Father, we celebrate that, even though sometimes we don't really enjoy it, we struggle with it, and probably some of us at times try to deny it. The truth remains that you have chosen us to live in this world for such a time as this, as we think about Esther, to do something that's unique, to be prepared uniquely, and then to understand the field that you've given us. We don't have to go searching for that. Often we just need to open our eyes and our heart to those that you've placed in our path. And that's who you've called us, chosen us to carry the gospel to. Father, this morning, if there is a lost person, as we've said here, we would love nothing more than for some to share with them. We have people here, individuals, that would share with them how they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and what that means, and to acknowledge the fact that God has chosen them for salvation. Father, there may be believers here this morning who have felt sort of left by the wayside. They sometimes have been attacked by Satan for feeling like they're not as important as other believers, or the mission that you've called them to or chosen them for is not as grander as others. Or frankly, maybe they have failed at some. And so in all of that, Satan has sort of resolved them to the point to make them feel like they're useless. Father, this morning we celebrate again the choosing of each and every one of us, And in your divine plan, there's nothing that we can do to completely mess it up that it can never be corrected. Why is that? Because you're a God that's sovereign on your throne. We don't have the power or the ability to mess things up so bad that you can't bring them back to where you want them to be. So this morning, for the believer, that may be where we're at. And so as always, the altar's open. It's a time for us. Just come, not worried about what other people are thinking or seeing, but us just to come symbolically before your throne and ask God for you to work in our lives as believers. There may be the opportunity for rededication this morning or others to join our church. Whatever the decisions, the responses to your word are, we pray we would bless you with that. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?